Blog Talk Radio.
Hi-ya, hey, hi-ya. Hey, hi, hi-ya. Hi-ya, hey, hi-ya, hi. Hey, hi, hi-ya, hey-ya. Hey, 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 hey,
for joining us on another Sunday, beautiful afternoon. Today's 3:30, and we're here on Sunday. I'm coming out of Nevada City right now, speaking to you today on Paranormal Ascension with Marilyn Monroe and my co-partner, co-host, Robin Alexis, here today. I wanted to share that song with you. Today we're going to be talking about how we communicate with trees and some of the energies that, you know, the energies of what the trees are communicating to us in this time frame. And I just want to give you a little insight. You know, that song that I'm singing to you right now, it's a song of a vibration that, you know, up here in Mount Shasta, you know, the mountain itself, it loves to hear music, you know. So when we go up to the, you know, during the summertime or even the wintertime, if we can get up there, we find a spot where, you know, where no one is, and we just find that sacred spot where we're drawn to, you know, when we put a little tobacco down and then we bring out a drum and or a rattle, you know, and we start singing to the trees, you know, because they're our life force, you know, they're the energy of the life force of the planet. And so that song is like calling them, you know. And just a little insight, you know, for you that you never heard this kind of thing. I know that this is a little bit out of your range probably, but it's, you know, it's really meaningful, you know, to sing to trees, to sing to plants, because plants and energies of the plants, and they all give off a certain kind of energy, life force, you know. And when we talk to our plants, we talk to our trees, you know, they provide for us. They give us what we need, you know, especially house plants. When we have house plants, I name all my plants, which is, you know, kind of weird to some people, but it's just something I've always done. And so when we're going up to Mount Shasta and we put these songs out to the creator and to the energy of the land and the ancestors, the way that trees hear us is that it's not our voice. It's the resonance of the echo. It's the resonance of the echo. When they hear the echo, it's like the echo transforms itself into like lights of sun rays. And then they feed off of that. They feed off of that energy. And if you ever stood by a tree and just put your hand, you know, we're not saying to completely wrap your leg and your arms around a tree. I mean, you can if you want, but it's not that hard to really communicate to trees. You know, you put your hand on a tree and you just look at the tree, look all the way up from the ground all the way up, you know, and you're connecting with that tree that way when you give it that honor, when you look at the fullness of that tree, and then you just feel in your heart what comes through. You know, it could be a chant, it could be a prayer, and they will respond to that. They'll drop a pine cone on your head or a little, you know, leaf will come down, you know, and just being really mindful about the awareness that carries. You know, and in this day and age, you know, we have a lot of up here, especially, you know, it's like big companies are coming up and they're just, you know, wiping our trees away. They're clear cutting up here. And it's sad, you know, because I don't think people really understand the power of what nature gives to the people and to what they provide as an energy. You know, for those of us who burn wood in our fireplaces in the wintertime, you know, one of the things that happens to us as human beings is that sometimes we can get really depressed during the wintertime. You know, the skies are always gray, get all the snow outside, you know, you're kind of done with the whole snowman thing, and, you know, and it's got gray skies, and sometimes you go into a little bit of a depression. And so when you're burning wood, you know, you're burning that wood, what you're doing is that you're extracting the sunlight that comes from that wood. And that heat of that energy of that wood fills up your house with that energy, that light, that joy, you know. And that's why wood-burning stoves are so, you know, potent, you know, when we're doing ceremony, when we're having a sweat lodge fire, letting that sunlight escape from that wood, you know. So I just wanted to share that little bit with you. And we're going to go into a little bit more of that a little bit later about some of the other communication. But right now I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Robin Alexis. Robin, are you with us?
Yes, thank you for having me, Matthew. And I'm going to explain a couple of things to folks today. One is how you can get a hold of Matthew and I if you would like our services, but I'm not going to talk about that first. The first thing I'm going to talk about is how is it that Matthew created this show, Paranormal Ascension with Marilyn Monroe. Matthew is very open about this is his desire to work with assisting souls to go on to their next highest vibration. And I am a communicator in that nature as well, but my specialty really works with baby spirits. And so if a baby has experienced termination or a miscarriage or, you know, gently passed after they first came into the world, that's more the type of work I like to do with mediumship. And I love to help parents bring in babies in a conscious way, understanding the power of preconception. So the reason why that flows into this conversation is that in 1998, I started channeling Marilyn Monroe for a previous president. And Marilyn said the reason why she liked coming through me is because when Marilyn was alive, she always wanted to be a mom. And so when she was deceased, she wanted to know where her very own baby spirits had gone to because she lost three babies in a miscarriage. And so I helped her with that, and then it created a bond with Marilyn. Well, this past year, in 2016, Marilyn came to me, and she asked me to create three legacies for her. The first one was to create the first annual fundraising event for veterans, which we did last Veterans Day. And she wanted us to specifically have people donate to OperationHomefront.net. She picked that particular one because it provides homes and repairs homes for veterans and their families. And Marilyn said she always wanted a home. She always wanted kids. And so she's encouraging people to honor the vets and to donate to OperationHomefront.net. She also said that in most homes there's a pet, or has been a pet, or will be a pet. So she had me work with a man who's a doctor, a veterinarian, chiropractor. His name is Dr. Nels, and he created a weekly radio show online for the pets. And then Matthew is working with Marilyn and myself to solve cold cases. And the first cold case that we were guided to do, which we may be doing one cold case a year, this cold case that we did this first Veterans Day and we're still somewhat working on, we have really good information that has been given to the police, is Maura Murray. Maura Murray is a young woman who disappeared in February of 2004 in New Hampshire. And the whole tree conversation came up because Matthew was able to see that up over where Maura's body is buried, that her, one of her necklaces is up in a tree. So it became a way for Matthew to speak to the tree to find out, you know, what's going on with Maura. So in these different calls that we've been doing since November, Marilyn Monroe's spirits come in, and then she's been bringing in Maura, and then we began to have the communication with a tree. So you can see how this folds in, and you'll understand that when you have a relationship with a tree, it's like everything Matthew was talking about, but it also may be a way to connect with a loved one or someone who's transitioned. So with that in mind, we also brought on a couple weeks ago a producer of two shows for Destination America. That's a cable network. He has two shows. One is called Paranormal Survivor, and the other is Haunted Case File. And Matthew and he and I a bit, but mainly Matthew, was making contact with a situation for a woman named Sandy to try to stop the poltergeist activity that was happening in her home. And we're going to give you a little bit of an update on that. Jack Kenna, the producer, did contact Sandy, and she says she did not feel too much shift, and so Matthew is going to, has volunteered to give her a personal one-on-one phone session, and then Jack Kenna is coming back on again on February 19th. So mark your calendars. That's the next time that Matthew will be hosting Paranormal Ascension with Marilyn Monroe will be February 19th, and Jack Kenna will be a guest again, and we'll be speaking about that particular case. So how, if you are so inclined to have a session or take a class with Matthew and myself, Matthew and I both offer one-on-one phone sessions, and you can book those by calling Bob at 530-859-2499. That's 530-859-2499. Or you can go to robinalexis.com and go in the Mystic Store, and you'll see that you can order sessions with either Matthew or myself one-on-one. You can order a Cosmic Coaching Series with Matthew, which I highly recommend. I did three of them. Changed my life. And then also Matthew and I teach a class in the Mystic Radio Institute. We actually teach a series of classes at different levels. This training program is something that Matthew's been teaching, I believe, close to 30 years, and then I am working with him as it fits during those classes to offer to people the opportunity to become comfortable with your own psychic ability, managing your own skills, and getting really comfortable within yourself, learning skills to use to expand what you do. And the next class that Matthew and I are teaching for level one begins Thursday, 3:30 at 3:30. And what I mean by that is March 30th. It will be 3:30 p.m. Pacific Coast time and 6:30 Eastern time, because we wanted to offer to our East Coast people a time that worked better for them. So if you want to take the next level one class with Matthew and I, you go into the Mystic Store at robinalexis.com. You'll see the link, Mystic Radio Institute Level 1, and you can sign up for the class. It's an 8-week conference call series. It's consecutive weeks, and you do receive a recording of each class, which you'll have for the rest of your life to listen to and, you know, remember what you learned in that class. You can also hear Matthew and I on Mystic Radio with Rob and Alexis. That is on KKNW out of Seattle, Washington, although it is live out of Mount Shasta, California. You can learn about that and when Matthew and I are hosting that on robinalexis.com. So, Matthew, when you were chanting today, that was particularly beautiful. I found myself swaying. I found myself really opening to the trees. And I found that it's like Mount Shasta herself was leaning in to listen. And so when you explained that, it really helped. And then in particular, there's a place in the mountain that you probably know where it is. It's called Ascension Rock. And that place in particular really opened up today, and Archangel Raziel came through, and I can feel him standing right next to me for the show today. So just wanted to send that back to you and let you know that was going on.
Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I noticed that, you know, when we're singing to the trees is that sometimes you'll just get a group of trees that you'll feel that are just moving, and everything else is not moving at all. A lot of times when we're in ceremony over at Stuart Middle Springs and we're having people on the hill, you know, and everything is responding to Humblecha. Humblecha is a word for the Lakota people, and it's called a vision quest or crying for a dream. And people go up on the mountain for 4 days. They go up on Wednesday night, and they don't come down until Sunday. And they don't drink water or eat food for that time period. And they use their prayers and their songs and as their nourishment. So everything is involved. You know, when we're in ceremony, the rocks are involved. The trees are involved. The wind is involved. And everything is praying for that because we're all trying to get into that energy of connection. And, you know, a lot of times when they're having ceremony, I'll take my drum up there and I'll have, you know, 7 or 8 people singing on the drum with me. And the everything is just reacts to that vibration and to that echo, you know, and we're aware of that. And the more you become aware about how you're providing, how you're giving, how you're relating to the trees and to nature itself, it's going to talk back to you. And it's your job to, as a human being, to really learn to infuse that awareness about what that means to you. I mean, even if you take a drum and you've never sang before, go by a river, sit by the river, and just listen to what the river is saying. You know, everything is alive. You know, everything has energy. Everything has a spirit. And once you start connecting to those energies, you're going to understand a lot more. And the thing about it is the way I speak to the trees and the water and the wind is my way. It's the way that I've always learned since I was a child, climbing trees. You know, I loved climbing trees. In fact, there was a tree in front of my grandma's house. She lived on Cinderella Lane in San Jose. Over in the east side, and there was this one big pine tree, and my mom used to get mad at me because I come home and I come down and I have a sap all over my legs and my feet and my hands, you know, and I get it all over. But this tree loved me. She would just, I would get there and the first thing I would get is like, climb me, you know, and I take off my shoes and I get up there on the bark, and this tree was, you know, it was like 50 feet tall, you know, huge. And I just loved that tree because I get up to the very top as far as my parents would allow me to go. And I would just let the wind sway me and just feel the tree just rocking back and forth. And it was like being back in the womb of my mother, you know, and it would just take me back because there's nothing up there. You can hear people around. You can hear cars go by, you know, fire engines off in the distance. But me and that tree, we just made this connection. And then later on in life, I wrote a poem about my friend, the pine tree, because the pine tree was like a mentor. It was like showing me how to grow without thinking, how to just be in the moment with the swaying, with the movement and the energy and listening. And that was really, really special to me when I was very, very young. And I've had a lot of experiences with trees, with energy, with the water, and, you know, and just those kinds of things. And you know, and that, I think it's a big part. It's like, you know, when they say sometimes it takes a village to raise a child, that's pretty true. It's not just, they're not just talking about people. They're talking about the wind. They're talking about nature. And the more that we learn to connect with that part of ourselves, you know, we just let ourselves be loved. You know, we're never lost, especially when we're in the forest. The trees and the nature will always tell you how to get to where you need to be or show you where the water is, but you got to learn to listen, you know. And this is a really, really interesting channel today, you know, and I'm just going to share that a little bit. Also, I just wanted to let people know if they're in Nevada City. This is where I'm talking from right now. I'm at my friend Christine's house in Nevada City, and I'm going to be teaching a class on February 25th. That's on the Saturday, and she's going to be doing a white tantric class on the 24th over at the place called Inner Path. You can get more information from my website at www.ascendedmasterangels.com. I'm going to be giving a healing night, a transformational ascension night over at the Inner Path over in Nevada City. And you can look up on my website. I haven't posted it yet, but I'm just getting everything together. And I just put myself on the calendar to reach out to you and to bring some of the energy that I've been learning and some of the things that Robin was talking about earlier about working with the Ascended Masters and empowering yourself and really focusing on your strengths and really bringing that about, because right now we're in a time frame where a lot of us need to learn how to step up and just really step up into the beings that we're becoming and not sit back and watch everybody move ahead of us. You know, we want to be in the flow. We want to be in alignment. We want to be together as a tsunami of spiritual people of moving across the planet and really providing a beautiful sense of awareness and peace between one another and cultures. So that's what I'm doing on February 25th here at the Inner Path in Nevada City. So just want to put that out there if you're interested in coming to that. It's going to be from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m. So the song that I was singing earlier, it was a song that I received from the land itself. If anyone has ever lived up in the mountains and there's not a lot of people around, you know, not a lot of noise, sometimes you'll hear songs. You know, they'll travel like little orbs of light, and they travel across the land. And you'll hear, you know, maybe there was somebody who used to pray in that same spot years and years, 100 years ago, and that song still lingers. And so some of us, like myself, have the ability to sit and listen. We can actually hear that song, because now that I took that song and I sang it the way it came to me, I'm going to leave that imprint, you know, and the way it came through me, the next person's going to hear it who is also called to do the same thing. So trees play a significant part of our growth, whether we know it or not, you know. And I'll share with you another experience with me. I lived up in Santa Cruz Mountains, up in Felton, California, for about almost 8 years before I moved up to Mount Shasta. And I had a beautiful redwood tree in the front yard, and it was one tree, but it split off into two. And it was really, really kind of weird, because it freaked me out a little bit. Well, I was talking outside to a friend of mine, and I was telling him how I was thinking about maybe moving to Mount Shasta. And I went back in the house. When I came out, a branch fell right in front of me and just fell like, stop, like you're not going anywhere. And I just looked at the tree and I said, no, I'm not going today. I'm just talking about going. And it just landed right in front of me, and I just went, whoa, you know. And I felt like this sadness, because every year during Christmas time, I would make like 200 prayer ties, and I would put it around the tree. And the prayer ties is like an intimate connection between me and my Creator. So I would make these 200 prayer ties, you know, every day for 200 days, almost a year, not 365, but 200. And that was my number. For some reason, 200 just stood out. So I would make 200 prayer ties of these red prayer ties on a string, and I would a lasso, you know, put it around the tree in the front yard, and I would decorate it and put flowers in the tree, you know, pin little, you know, I need a blessing, I need a prayer for this. And the tree, because I have a familiarity with trees, I know, and I have a feeling more than most probably, you know, from people I've talked to about the recognizing males and females and grandmothers and elders and trees. And for me, what I'm doing is that I'm putting these energies and this love into this tree, because I know the tree doesn't think too much. It feels, it only feels, and the roots that go into the ground. And mind you, redwood trees, the roots don't go down very far. I mean, they're huge, gigantic trees, but the roots maybe go down 2 feet, you know. How do they do that without falling over, you know? And that's called groundedness. You know, they know how to ground themselves and be connected to the planet. And so it's my belief that those prayers not only get sucked into the tree and the emotion of that tree, but the tree backs up what I'm saying, backs up my prayer. And those energies of the leaves and the branches that reach out into the heavens is going up to the Creator. And the energy that's going down into the roots is going down into the life force of energy on the planet. So trees, it's been my belief that they speak to one another. Even a tree in China or a tree in Japan or across in Russia, I'm sending that energy not only to my people here on this plane and the town and the city, the community I live in, but I'm also sending these prayers to Russia. I'm sending it to the opposite side of the planet because I know that trees have an ability to connect to different energies of different roots of different plants across this beautiful planet. So I did that. You know, I did that religiously every year. You know, I would do this. I would make these prayers. And I would pin it to the tree. You know, I would make sure that I wouldn't put nails in it or anything like that. Just little pins, you know. And it just that because they're living beings, and they will speak to you. You know, and it's been my connection with the trees. You know, and every time I see a tree anywhere I go and I'm praying, I always give it recognition. You know, put my hand on it, say thank you, no, thank you, brother, thank you, sister, thank you, grandma. For being here and sharing your energy with us, you know. And the more I do that, you know, the more the trees will show us things that are hidden from us. Sometimes the trees will speak to us about something that's laying on the ground. Or if you lift up that waka, that elder, you know, you're going to find a shell or something there, you know, and they'll say those things. And what's important here, you know, is that I'm sharing this really sacred part of myself with all of you. And also it's not so that you go around and you have an experience and go out and tell these people about what really happened. You know, it's about you keeping that to yourself and really trying to create a bondage between you and that special creature, that special being, you know. And I've seen spirits come in and sit on the trees, you know, and just be there, you know. And when I first started seeing spirits when I was a little kid, you know, I used to see a lot of spirits, little kids hanging around trees because that's what they love to do. And the trees have a connection with that little spirit. And because that child remembers the love and the connection of that tree, that's where they ended up, you know. And it's okay because they can travel back and forth. It's just, you know, the way of it. And it's just learning to have a deeper understanding about what you're surrounded with. You know, if you have a lot of trees or you're planting trees, you're making a prayer. You're putting your relatives next to you. You're keeping your family close, you know, and that's important. But it's also important to recognize them as that, you know, as that way they can help you with whatever you're working on, you know. Trees love children because children love to climb trees is what I got from that. There was a time when I used to meditate a lot. And every day I'd come home and I'd go on sacred journeys in myself. I would travel into myself, into my inner space. And one of my master guides, he took me into a place where I met all these trees. And the trees were telling me that I needed to find a staff. I needed to have a staff that represented me. So in my vision, I saw myself holding a lightning bolt. And I forgot about that, right? And I came out of meditation but in the meditation, I was going from tree to tree, feeling the different aspects of the different personalities of these trees that I was looking at. And there were all those white birch trees. And they're really, really tall, really, really thin. And there was a couple of them, and they were just standing out, and I was talking to them. And there was this message I got from this community. They were called Ishnas, E-I-S-S-I-S-H-N-A, Ishna. And the Ishnas were a tree community that were in my meditation. They would be upside down. The roots would be their head, you know, and the branches would be their feet. So they were like the opposite, like a tree that's upside down. And they would, when I came to them, when I first introduced myself and I was walking down the hall in their kingdom, there was this huge, massive, you know, tall trees. And I was just this little speck walking along. And they were all singing to me, you know, singing, just some kind of chant. And I recognized the chant as they were deciphering what I'd left on the mountain. So they were singing it the way they heard it. And so when I recognized that, it made my hair stand up because, oh, my God, they are listening in meditation. And then they gave me this magic word to say. It's called, and I taught my students this, it's called Unsud Mantai. Unsud Mantai is learning how to deflect negativity around your field by putting your third finger on your right hand, on your Adam's apple, or on your throat chakra. And when you say the vibration, it runs through your body and it expands out your field. And then you say, you know, Unsud Mantai. And, you know, I use that energy to disperse negative energy. And that's the gift they gave me. And so when I came out of that, that whole thing, the following year, I ended up in New York with a friend of mine up in upstate New York. And her father, my friend Jennifer, her father was a teacher at a school. And he took me to a place. He says, I hear you really interested about getting a staff. I said, yeah, but I had a vision that I was going to go and see all these trees that had different personalities. He goes, he just looked at me and he looked at Jennifer. He goes, I know exactly where to take you. So he took me to this place where some of the Mohawk people and the Iroquois Indian people used to have some of their ceremonies. And he took me out to the sacred place. And lo and behold, there was all these birch trees, and they're all thin. And at the bottom of each of the tree, they had a lightning bolt. And I said, oh, my gosh, this is serendipitous. This is something I never imagined. Cool. So he says, well, pick your tree. So I was going to each one and putting my hand on them and honoring them, you know, recognizing them. And one of the trees, one of them was way too feminine and way too talkative. So I said, oh, wait, no, thank you. But you want to come home with me? But no, I'm good. I need something that reflects me, you know. And so I went to another one, and this was an old man. He was grumpy, and he was just, oh, I'm just here, and people come here, and they throw their garbage here, and blah, blah, blah. And like, okay, yeah, okay, no, thank you, but I'm going to move on. And then finally, at the end, or on the trail, there was this one tree. Didn't say anything to me. It just I felt it staring at me, like checking me out. And at the top, where my third eye is on my head, on it right there, there was like a yellow dot. And I saw that as, whoa, you know, if I stood next to it, that yellow dot would connect to my third eye. And I said, this is the one right here. And when I touched it, I could feel like as if I was looking at my own reflection, you know, and I felt the energy going down my hand. And I felt like this energy just came out of it, you know, like Unsud Mantai, just energy dispersed from it. And I felt myself standing in this energy field of love, tranquility, of healing, of community, of unity. You know, it's like it was like filled up over the years of its life, of all the medicine and all the prayers coming from all over the world into it. So I said, all right. So I prayed over it as we were cutting it down, put down tobacco, and I asked it, do you want to come home with me? And it did. So we took it down, you know, and I chopped it down to my height, my same height at 6'3", and then my friend Jennifer's dad sent it in a tube, you know, and posted it to me. And then I took that beautiful staff and I took it to my grandmother's house in Arizona. And she looked at it and she said, oh my gosh. So she goes, this is what that tree wants. She goes, just like the anything else we use, our feathers, our chanupas, our pipes, that you have to speak to it to ask it what it wants from you. So I did. I sat with it and it told me a riddle. It says, I want to be looked at as between earth and sky. I want to have both animals of meat and barley. I want to be able to feel the hands upon me to give and deliver my prayer to the rest of the world. And I said, wow, that is intense. Okay. So I started listening. I listened to that. And so what my grandmother did is that she put little bear marks and little lightning bolts at the top with a little burner. And then I put two different bandanas, one black and one blue, representing the earth and sky. And then I put both buffalo and bear on the bottom, which represents the barley, the vegetarians and the meat eaters, you know, because we have to live together in life, you know. And so I've used that staff over and over again during my ceremonies. I've used it. I only take it out during certain times. I don't walk around town with it or anything like that. I use it during my big classes. When I have classes, at the end of my classes, I have everybody touch it because that's what it wanted. It wanted everybody to touch it. And so after everyone touches it, what happens, just like when I was a kid on that pine tree, everyone starts to sway. And it's not me. It's the staff itself is making everyone sway. So as they're swaying, I hear a song. And that song is like almost like a gentle just beat, you know, this real slow beat. And so when everyone's swaying, I'll sing a song. And everyone can feel the energy just dispersing out of their body, all the prayers that were taken in that staff for the years that tree was, you know, was growing in the earth. And so that energy escapes and goes into the people, you know, and then they get this connection of this beautiful thing that we created that was drawn to us through meditation, through prayer, and through singing, you know. And I just wanted to share that with you. That was my journey. And so when I was a child, you know, it was just the eucalyptus trees was like family. I can feel myself being connected to that. So I wanted to share that with you, and I hope you guys, you know, will able to have a better view of what trees really mean to us and how they speak to us in those different ways. Thank you for that. Robin, do you want to add anything to that?
Well, it's first of all, what you're sharing today is just exquisite, the energy, the information, and I really, really appreciate it, as I'm sure other listeners do too. And also, what's very interesting to me beyond that, Matthew, is that normally when you and I do a show, we have humans call in and want to speak. Like on this show, if you want to speak, you press 1, and then Matthew will see a little hand go up, and he can hear what you have to say. On Mystic Radio, we have a call screener, and we take calls from humans. What's happening today is I'm actually getting trees who want to ask questions or share things, and if we have time, I'll speak about what the trees are saying, and then Matthew, you can speak back to what they're saying. But I wanted to make you aware of something that Maura Murray is saying, her spirit, and see if you can help her, because I have no idea if what she's requesting is something that could actually be done. But what she wants to know, Matthew, is there a way that she could learn, even though she's deceased, is there a way that she could build a relationship with the tree that's got her necklace in it right up over where she's buried, so that when someone comes to look for her, like you said, the tree moved just from the sound of the music, is there a way that her spirit could help to move the tree so someone might notice the necklace and know that she's there? And I feel, too, that the tree is wanting something. I'm not even sure if it's necessarily that, but the tree that's holding the necklace and Maura are both coming in and asking, is there anything that you could do around that situation of finding her body?
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and tap into the energy of New Hampshire and then to the area where we felt that. And so I'm going to go ahead and dive into that tree and ask it. And the tree is saying that in order for them to have a connection, especially in spirit, is to be able to share her spirit, her energy with Maura. So Maura, what you're going to have to do is that you're going to have to go stand by that tree, and just like you were alive, put your hand on that tree and then let your energy, let your spirit, you know, become part of that tree. And as soon as you feel that tree, it's going to draw you into it, because you're spirit now. You're all living things, your energy of creation, and draw that energy. And as soon as you feel the energy come in, you can speak to the tree how you want to speak to it. You can think whatever the tree needs to do, because you're going to become like a walk-in. And as you're walking into that tree is going to respond. That tree could shake by itself, or it can move, and when no other trees are moving, it can move. And so for me, I guess the only thing would be able to say was that if we got to the point where police officers and investigators are looking for that or any kind of evidence, you know, and if they got close to that area, you can simply drop that necklace on the ground, and when someone's standing there, and you know, and that would be like, that's when everyone would crowd around that specific area. So I'm going to go ahead and tap into Maura just real quick. I'm going to my workshop and bring her into there and just let her know what I'm saying, because I know that she's speaking through you, but also I want just to feel her. And so there's a lot of warmth that I feel from Maura right now, a lot of warmth coming from her body, like she's ready. She wants to do it now. She wants to do it now. So I'm going to go ahead and ask Miller Monroe if it's okay for her to jump into that tree. And she says she's multidimensional. She doesn't have to be in one place, she says. She can be in multiple places. So what I want to do is that I want to gather the trees all around where some of these people are buried, and I want them to send out an energy to the subconsciousness of humankind who are willing to listen, and to give them some insight about where to look and to draw them into the area where Maura is buried. And so I'm doing that now. And so for some of you listeners, I know this maybe even still, and I'm going to say it again, might sound a little far-fetched and a little bit more than you've ever heard before, you know, and this is the work that we do. We're connected, you know, and it's easy for us. But for some of you who have never had this, one of the things you can do is that you can just simply put your hand on the ground. Just put your hand on the ground, on earth, and just send your prayer to those trees that will speak to the people who are looking for Mara, and to draw them in, to draw them in and to find them. Even if you don't have any clue where she's buried, or you don't even know a little bit, after today's radio, go outside, put your hand in the dirt, and just say, this is what I heard today, and I'm asking you to help Mara, asking to help the spirit, that the people, to find the body of Mara. And what you're doing is that you're transmitting an energy of your heart, your love, your intention, and the earth will hear you. And they'll speak that way. They'll speak to those people. And they have a way, nature has a way of figuring things out more than human beings. They'll figure out a way that will help us to become more aware of some of the energies and some of the ways to get their attention. You know, whether, like for me, a tree will fall, branch will fall down. I'm not saying something like that will happen, but maybe, you know, and there'll maybe a path will open up and people will know exactly where to go. And so by your intention, by you caring, by you just having a little bit of thought, of love for what we're doing right here, and you're wanting to help a little bit, put your hand on the ground and just send your prayer, the left hand, your heart hand, and put that energy in and just make that prayer. And then ask that for that, because it takes all of us to make this happen, not just me, not just Robin, but all of us together. It makes us, you know, it helps with the collective. And as vibration goes, as collective, as beings that we are, our thoughts travel to those trees and the leaves take that in. And so as we become more of a community with trees and plants and animals and earth, you know, we become one people. And there's no race, there's no color, there's no masculine or feminine, we're just one people. And so that energy itself is enough to get more to be recognized and where she's buried, and it will help. They'll start finding clues that they didn't find before. The earth will push things up out of the earth, and things will start to show up, even if there's snow, you know, because we're all related to all those energies. So I just wanted to say that and to ask Mara. She's already going there. She's going back to that tree, and I see it over to the right. There's actually two trees next to, almost like rubbing on each other up on the top. It's like a really thick area where there's a little bit of I've seen this before, where there's like a little ditch. There's a dead end, and there's a little ditch, and there's a big boulder, and then right next to that is where that tree's at. And it's hanging some kind of a remembrance. The guy likes to remember all his, you know, all the things he did, or just like kind of bragging about what he did, and then he just hang that thing there. Or the necklace of Mara. So she's already over there, so I'm just going to let her do what she needs to do. And I'm going to ask Creator right now and some of the ancestors of the land before before houses were built there, to go in tomorrow and to help and support her as she's doing this, and to really provide the energy and safety and feeling that what she's doing is making a difference, and not just talking into a well or speaking into an echo, but just to be really present for her so she can feel the village taking care of her. Steel in spirit world. So I'm just going to let that happen. You know, Robin, are you feeling anything more from what I just said?
Absolutely. Mara is saying that this show has been extremely beneficial for her, because since her death, she has been just trying to access humans to help her. And it wasn't until today that she understood the village concept, that it's not just other humans. Mm-hmm. That it's also working with nature and the tree. So it's really given her a lot of courage and expansion in what she can do to self-empower herself on the other side. So that's really, really beautiful, to say the least. And I'll let you finish up with that, and then I can ask you some other things that trees have come in, or if you want to take other calls, that's fine too, because I'm sure there's going to be lots of people who want assistance from you.
Okay, well, no, there's nobody with their hands up, so again, I'm just going to repeat, if there's anybody who wants a quick reading, or, you know, just a little, you know, kind of want to know what, you know, how we can help you today, I'd be happy to speak to you, or Robin. And what you do is on your phone is that you push number one, and then a little hand will come up, and then I'll be able to see your number, and I'll be able to bring you onto the show with Robin and I. So if you want to do that, please be welcome. Please feel welcome to do that. And for those of you who don't know the number, it's area code 646-564-9678, and you push one, and you know, we'll see your little hand come up, and then we can talk to you. So the thing about the tree that I'm, the trees that I'm looking at, looks like, okay, this is a, something that I didn't recognize before. And one of the things that this tree, particular tree that's so important, is that some of these trees are damaged by beetles, which is like there's a couple of dead trees behind this tree. And it's like almost like a couple of different spots where beetles have affected the trees here in this area. And so the tree feels like it's suffering a little bit. It could be cracked. It could be, you know, almost like bent over. And the tree next to it is the same thing. There's some kind of beetle, something going on with the trees there. Like it hasn't been cold enough or hasn't been hot enough or something to get rid of those beetles. And so there's a little, a lot of dry area around this green area where she's at. And so I'm watching Maura in there, and she's really having a good time. She's shaking the leaves, you know, trying to kind of like give it a test. And she says, it's really working. So, and so as she's in there, she's giving that tree more personality, to where people will actually look over there and say, this is a weird looking tree. This is a funny feeling from this tree. But it's kind of like her trademark. She's leaving her imprint on this tree. You know, and as a spirit, she has a lot easier way to go ahead and travel and just to channel her personality into that tree. You know, and a lot of people will say, you know, when you, it's like when you walk into a baby's room, you know, you can hear the laughter or hear an experience. You, there's an imprint that's left by that child of that happiness, and that, and it helps you with your remembrance. And so the people who are connected to Mara will be able to feel that impression in this particular area of where she's buried. She'll just feel her energy, even smell her perfume or, you know, something that they recognize from Mara. So that's what we want. We want to engage in this energy to help that, you know, be more apparent for the investigators. So I want to say just thank you, Robin, for allowing me to do that. And for all of you who are listening today, for just for you to be an open audience to some of the insight and the energies that we do, and to be able to share this with all of you. So thank you for that. What I'm going to do too is that I'm going to, that song that I just sang in the beginning, I'm going to go ahead and send that song into that tree and into that area that will help to clear some of the negative shrapnel or some of the negative residual energies that that the perp left behind. And so I'm just going to clear the energy up so and open it up so it's like a pathway from that tree where she's buried, you know. And what I'm getting again is, as I'm talking to you and looking there, I'm also seeing the ring again, the ring and the finger. And I don't know exactly where this fits or what it means, but I'm seeing it. And so maybe it could be coming to the surface. I don't know. And so I'm just thanking and asking the creator and the energies of the trees to go ahead and to please help with the situation. And that, you know, as we stand together as a family and trying to correct the imbalance that has been created by some individuals on the planet Earth, and to be able to, you know, correct it by helping to find the solution for this young lady who was taken out in 04. And so I just want to leave it at that and just ask that tree take on that song and let that song linger there, you know, for as long as it needs to.
Okay, that's beautiful, thank you. Matthew. Yeah, a question that came through me while you were speaking about the unity consciousness of trees all over the planet is that if a tree can receive the blessings and the prayers, do trees also mourn, like you were talking about when they're clear cut? Does that leave an imprint of mourning between the trees?
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, my gosh, you would not. During our ceremonies that we have during every year is called Wasipi Wakan. It's Wiwan Wasipi is the sundance ceremony. And every year we go and get a cottonwood. And a cottonwood is a really tall white tree that forks off at the top. The fork represents the male and female coming together. And the base of the tree, the one tree, before it forks off, is the oneness that we bring together as man and women on this planet. And so that tree, when we take it down, first it's about counting coup. And so the year before the tree is cut down, we pray over it in the four directions. Or the medicine man will go up there and put a ribbon around it, you know, tie a yellow ribbon, but it's more of a red ribbon. and then they put tobacco down and they burn sage, and then he touches the tree, like I was telling you before. He touches the tree and he puts his right hand on his heart and he puts his left hand on the tree and he says, you know, this next year, you know, this is your last year you're going to be here. And so he makes a prayer. He sings a song for all the other trees to hear what we're doing here. We're going to take this tree down in a sacred manner. We're going to paint this tree, and this tree is going to help the people live. And so when we're making that ceremony that following year, is that we all gather around, and we're all dressed up in our moccasins and in our ribbon shirts. And I have my drum with me, and I have my brothers who are on the drum with me. And it's a very sacred thing. There'll be a child who is a virgin, a young child, a boy and girl, and pure kids, and they come and they take the pipe and they touch in the four directions of that tree. And then the first chop to the tree is somebody who is pure. So it's a little girl and a little boy. They first take the chop in the four directions of the tree to show the purity that we're bringing to this beautiful tree. And the tree was chosen, and it wants to be chosen. It will tell us which one. Mm-hmm. It's like the mammoth or the buffalo. You know, the buffalo will always choose another one of their relatives who's going to be the meat, who's going to be the blood, who's going to be the bones for this tribe to eat. And so a lot of warriors back in the day, they would go into their inipis or their sweat lodges that a lot of people call it today. But the inipi, they would go into the inipi ceremony and they would pray for the buffalo to give them a sign, to give them a vision of what, you know, we're looking for meat. Our tribe needs to eat. We need your help. And so they'll send that prayer out, and then they go out on the hunt. And then what the buffalo will do is they'll gather in a herd, and one of them will walk out. And that's the one that was chosen. And so they'll do it in a sacred manner. They bless everything, pray over everything, sing before they take down this animal. And so, and it's not just, you know, take me, I'm yours. It's like, you know, they're on the hunt. They'll take off, they'll go chase it, and they make it into an experience. So for the tree, you know, the trees, other trees, you know, they show us and they point us in the direction of the tree that is being chosen for the ceremony. So when we find the tree, we count ku, we put a red handprint representing the mark of counting ku. And ku is like the honoring asking, you know, honoring of asking. And the tree is like telling us that this is the one for that we want to offer up to you and your people, for your people to live. And so when the tree is being cut down, there's two different ropes that are being tied to the top. And what happens is that when the tree gets cut all the way, every sun dancer will go in and take a chip out of that tree. They'll hit the tree like 3 or 4 times, and they hand the axe to the next person. And as they're doing this, as they're hitting the tree, I'm singing the songs to the rest of the trees to pray for this one tree that's being taken, you know, for the ceremony, the sacred ceremony. And so what happens is that when that tree's ready to fall, the people on the back rope will loosen it up as the people pull. And what happens is that we let that tree drop but not hit the ground. We let the tree come all the way down, and all the sun dancers and all the helpers and all the supporters, they just lower it really, really slow all the way down, and then everyone gets underneath it. And then they chop the rest of it off of there, and then we carry it to the truck. The truck has a big old thing on top and with an X, you know, on the bumper, so it holds the tree, because these trees are huge. They're not small. I mean, they're like 50, 60 feet tall, and maybe 8 inches in diameter, you know, and they're super tall and they're green. And so when we put that tree on that truck, you know, we're praying for it. And there's a medicine man up there with his hand, and he'll say, the tree's crying. It's crying out of happiness. It's happy that we took care of it, that we can feel our love and feel our presence. And when that tree is feeling that way, it's affecting everyone else around us. And so when the tree is being taken, there's always a guy out there with a drum. After I finish singing, another guy will sing to the tree as it's being taken to the ochoka, or to the arbor, to our altar. And so as that tree's being taken, there's leaves falling off, right? There's branches and leaves. So everybody gathers around, picks up the chips that was taken from the tree, puts it in their medicine bags or in their cars, mm-hmm. in their sacred places, because each of these chunks has a sacredness to it, is that it's the intention that we're given to this tree. And so a lot of people will pick up the branches and the leaves and they'll carry them with them, and that's part of the medicine. You can learn, you can pray with that, because everything is done in a sacred manner. And so when that tree is crying for its life, you know, we're taking care of it. We're babying it. We're nurturing it. We're telling it it's going to be okay, you know. And so before the tree is put in the ground, we have a big hole that's dug in 7 feet down. And then as the tree is being carried into the arbor, they lay it all out on like these trunk big stumps, you know. And then the tree is painted with more red paint, which is it's not just paint. It's called a red dirt paint coming from the chanupa, the stone itself. It can be made into a paint. It comes from the earth, and we paint the tree. And then we decorate the tree, and all the people put prayer ties in the tree. They tie their ties to all the branches. You know, these prayer ties are made with cloth and tobacco. And some people, and then they hang a eagle feather in the tree, and they put, you know, just big old, you know, all these prayer ties and all these beautiful colors in the tree, and they decorate it. And as they're doing that, of course, I'm singing on the side, and everyone is crying because they can feel this tree. It's given its life for the people. And we're sending the energy back to the tree to nurture it. And so before the tree is put in the ground, some of the medicine people will come over and they put a big buffalo heart in the center of the ground, and they'll put food. They'll put, you know, whatever we eat, we put in there for them. We put, you know, stew, we put vegetables, put fruit, you know, and put water, and then we put tobacco, and then we stand the tree up because that tree is going to feed off of what we eat during that 4-day ceremony, mm-hmm. Or 12-day ceremony. And so when that tree goes up and they tamper it down, you know, we set it straight up. And you can feel everyone cheering for that tree because that tree gave its life for us. And as that tree dies in the next 4 days, as it's dying and people are suffering, you know, it's like the most closest that we all get to the Creator, because as that tree is getting ready to cross over and die, it's given its life force for us. So the sun dancers who don't drink water and eat, they're feeding off of that tree, that prayer, that energy, you know, and they're taking that into themselves. So that tree is so sacred. And so we just take care of that tree, and the tree takes care of us. During the ceremony, certain times, elders will come from different towns and different places. They'll just show up, and the medicine man will take them to the tree, and then they all sit there, and they put their hands on that tree, and that tree heals them, sends the energy from the Creator from above, and the energy coming from up from the earth, from all the other trees across, and all the other ceremonies of all the other sun dancers going across Turtle Island. Turtle Island is a term that we use for the United States. And apparently the butthole of the turtle is over in Washington. But I just wanted to say that. And so the tree is connected to all those other ceremonies across Turtle Island. And so they're all connected. We're all putting prayers into the same reason for the future of our children, for the health and wealth of our families, to be able to take care of each other, to be oneness with each other, you know, in this life, and to not have diversity, not to have separation, but to have diversity and to accept each other for who we are, you know, if we live in a sacred manner. So this is about our future generations. And so this tree, this wakan, they call it wakan, is sacred, you know. This tree is the thing that is in the center of the world, helping the other people to be nourished and to give them the insight, give them the dreams and the connection they need for the Creator, even if they don't have one. So, you know, that's the story, and you can feel that energy. If you ever had a ceremony, if you ever had a chance to go and support at a Sundance, do it, because you'll know the sacredness of trees a lot better, and you'll start to recognize what all this means, this whole life force, this force and the energy, and the, you know, and you'll start to recognize and how important life force is in these beautiful plants and these trees and of that surround us, and how we can communicate by just acting upon our human selves, but also being in our intention. You know, we can't live how trees live, but we can learn from them because they have more wisdom than that we would ever know. You know, they don't think about growing. They don't think about bills. They don't think about worry. They don't think about, they just grow because the sun sign is there. And then we take that wood and we burn our fires, and we get to relive that experience of that tree again from the sun's light. So trees, super important, super loving, super connected, and they're part of our relations. So when we say the word Metakiasan, it means our relations. We're all related. We're all connected to all living things, including trees. So thank you for letting me speak.
That was beautiful, Matthew. Thank you so much. Some of the trees have backed up with their questions because Maura is raising her hand again. Do you want to take another question from Maura?
Sure.
Okay. She is saying that she's buried off from a logging road. So now she's asking if the spirits of those trees that were cut down that made that road, could they also like help her with bringing attention to where she and the other young women are buried?
Unfortunately, the ones that are already dead and down don't have any more life force.
Okay.
But they are carrying the energy of the sunshine. But what mm-hmm. she could do and what we could do is that we can call ancestors from the land itself to step mm. into those trees. And as we were talking about earlier, yeah, as we talked about earlier, they can create a path for people to follow the intention. We can take that song that we sang in the beginning and send it to that area. You know, it might not sound the same when it gets there, but, you know, when it, there'll be something that'll be sung, it can create a path, you know, for that energy to be reached and for be able to have like a, like breadcrumbs, you know, breadcrumbs leading to the area mm-hmm. there. So we can ask the ancestors to step into those trees and to create light body energies coming from those trees to give it life again, because it is still a temple. It's still a portal. It's still, you know, it's still a sanctuary. That tree, the energy that came from that tree is still in there. The light of the Creator and the light of God, the light of the sun is still in that tree, but the spirit has left already. So it's a conduit. It can be used as a conduit. And you know what conduits too, you know, the other word for conduit, the intention is amplification. So if enough spirits get together and call into those trees, they can call from the trees, you know, and they can really make a strong path for people to follow and to follow where she's buried.
I can literally clairvoyantly see spirits from that area hearing what you said and going to the trees. And it's all, almost like I see the spirits of people, some of my own ancestors who live in that area, but there's a whole like row of people with the trees, and they're like creating almost like a corridor that just goes right to where Mora and the other young women are. And I'm seeing toes sticking out of the ground with little like rings or tags in their toes, which is something that you mentioned, I think it was the last show, something about that, and this is the time that I'm seeing it. And I'm feeling like the roots of the trees, or even a tree might fall when the people are there to kind of say, hey, look over here. It's like I really feel the interrelationship of the communication, and I can feel people who are on the call really leaning into sending their energy to direct the Holy Spirit to bring to this revolution, this unveiling. And that brings me to this spot on the mountain that we were talking about earlier in the show, Ascension Rock, and Archangel Raziel presented himself. Many, many people from around the world go to that particular location, and they do a lot of prayer. And so the trees there holding a lot of life and light, as you would say, Matthew, based on what you've been sensing today. And they're asking if they could not only help in this situation, but is there a way that they could feel more union, not necessarily between trees, because that evidently is already happening, but between the trees and the collective consciousness of humanity, where there's been any sacred spot where there's been a lot of prayer, if we could, almost like an acupuncture point, bring that this is the tree speaking, bring that to the people to wake up the collective consciousness. They're saying that would help everything. Yeah, I can feel energy moving. So are you receiving something around that, Matthew?
Well, one of the things that come to my spirit is when you're saying that, is that basically is just learning how to look at trees, and not just as trees, but as like, you know, communicators. And the more people that can really look at trees as being a part of their family or being connected to each other, just, and you know, it could take much as, man, that tree's so beautiful. I love the way that tree looks. It's so awesome. And just that energy that you put into it, that tree's going to react. And whatever's in the tree and that intention of what you just asked is what's it's going to connect to the collective. And just it's sometimes, you know, as human beings, we get so caught up in technology and our computers and our televisions and, you know, and tabloids, we forget that, you know, before all that stuff was here, we had a lot of trees, we had a lot of land, we had, you know, there's places that are now, you know, completely cities from all the clear cutting. But the energy of those trees are still remains. That imprint of that tree still remains. So it's learning just to to connect and tap into that energy field. And so one of the things that we can do, just, you know, as somebody who does Reiki, somebody who does channeling, whatever level that you are, you send that energy up into the Creator and make that prayer and just put a net around the whole planet and focus that energy into specific areas. You know, there is a part of the classes that we teach about learning to lift the vibration and economic energies of certain parts of the world by taking away some of the judgment energies that have been from the history, cause that to occur, the end result of that. And so sometimes you can actually harness the energy of the whole entire planet and just activate those energies in specific areas on the planet just by joining into it, by visualizing that happening. And so, you know, that's a huge, that could be a huge interaction that could really create a lot of success that way, of really communicating with them that way or just having that intention. But it feels to me as I'm talking to you right now, as everything's kind of swimming at me from a distance, is that I'm hearing right now, I'm getting a channel from a really old redwood that just came down, a sequoia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of the ones that I was going to mention to you.
Big tree.
He was asking
Yeah, he's an old man. He's an old man. And he's saying that the state of reverence of the trees today is a community. And they have set aside a lot of their wisdom because human beings are not able to connect to them as they used to. They used to rely on their shade and on their bark and on their wisdom from the trees, just by what they took from the trees, the giving tree, like that book that we read when we were kids, you know, how he used the tree for apples and leaves for a house, branches for a house, you know, and then a stump at the end as he was old, he just wants to sit. And so the sequoia is telling me that, you know, in reverence, they want to raise their branches with us as human beings and to reach up into the sky and to bring the energy of the Creator down on this earth and to help transform and transmix some of the energies that we are creating here. We're not taking care of our planet the way we should, he says. You know, a lot of us are feeling failed that we came here for an intention to help to bring people into survival and to give the energy of connectedness and awareness that we are all one people. We just have different skins. And some of the skins, you know, are wood, just like trees. But he's saying that, you know, it's really important that we raise our arms up more often, you know, to represent that we're all connected. And he says the more that you do this, the ancestors of the trees of different parts of the area will recognize what you're doing and be a part of your consciousness, will be a part of your super subconsciousness. And in your dream time, the trees will speak to you as humans. They'll come to you. They'll transform themselves as a human being, because that's the way sometimes when we as people see a tree talking to us, who does that? You know, only in the cartoons or only in Wizard of Oz, you know. But we do that, he says. We know how to transform our light body into a human form so you'll accept us more. So you accept whoever we're coming from and what we represent, because we come from the divinity of the Creator. And we are brought here to give sustenance and energy to this planet, to help the planet breathe. The planet is a living organism of pure energy and pure beautiful energy that, you know, can transform itself into different aspects to help us to communicate. We're here in a consciousness to connect with one another. And it's been my life that I have given myself to this world, to this concept. So when I have fallen this last week from the rains, it was time for me to make a statement about what is happening on this planet and what we need to do. Right now, we need to let ourselves become one with everything and raise your arms up into the sky and become connected. And let your arms be your branches and let your skin be your leaves and let your eyes be the bark, because you see everything around you. It's just that sometimes we get so caught up in looking over what's in front of us instead of looking what's around us, feeling the energy of the wind and the energy of the sky and the light of the sun. That is the sustenance you really need in order to perform and able to be connected with one another. So I'm very happy, he says, to be able to speak to you in this manner without judgment, without recoil, and without trying to dominate. You are here and you're listening, and this is what matters. That was that sequoia tree that was connecting to me, because after we made that prayer about all the energies of the trees with that netting and the consciousness, he spoke up. He just stood out. So I just thought I would speak to him. And, you know, the funny thing is that, ironic thing, is that I thought that tree was a female all this time until I heard the voice. So that really, I need to think about that, why I was picking up on a grandmother instead of a grandfather. So, but anyways, that's a beautiful thing, that the sequoia, you know, is like fell to get your intention, to hopefully to pull your energy into the trees and to be able to look at them differently. Thank you, Robin.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And I didn't even need to remind you, because you were already hearing it yourself, and that is absolutely exquisite. And before we either move on to something else or close this particular show, Maura is asking that we each go outdoors and allow ourselves to hear from a tree that is willing to participate with us in a prayer for her body to be found. And she's asking us to put our prayers into the tree that is volunteering to help her and the other girls that are with her to bring resolution to this situation for them.
So I want to sing another song, a song that's been lingering from that sequoia tree that fell. There was a song that a child, an old man, and maybe a sister, a family, sang together to that tree. So I want to send that energy into that understanding, and to all the people who decide to do this. You know, and if you don't, that's fine. But we're here together as a family, as one people, describing to you our experience, and everything is sacred. You know, and it does. You don't have to be Native American to find everything being sacred. You could be somebody who just cares and who just loves. You know, and so I want to sing this song. So as you're touching the ground, or you have your arms raised up in the sky, wherever feels more comfortable for you, I just want to put that song into the earth and into the sky, so you can be connected to what we're saying, and that the Creator will give you a vision or a dream to help with fulfilling what Maura is asking, to find her body, or for you to have better understanding and connectedness to life forces and energies and spirits, who don't have eyes and nose and ears and bodies, but are all part of our family, our village, that we help to take care of one another. Matakaopi. So that song is that echo, that drawing that echo to your body, your life force, your skin, your hair, the energy, your auric field, your love, your intimacy, your perfections, all the energies that were created to you when you were born in this life as a child, all the light that you came from the Creator, that came from heaven, came from the other side, that you brought to share with the planet, this planet, the trees and the life force. This planet was made for you to enjoy your life and to have experiences and to learn to give back from what you receive from the planet lovingly, unconditionally, openly. So that song is that energy that we create together, plus the energy of that song that was created by that family, whoever was singing from that sequoia tree. We're able to mix it. It's not exactly the way I heard it, but it's the way that came out, and I accept it that way. So I'm asking all of you to take a chance today to go out in the world and put your hands up or put your hand on the ground and let that energy of that vibrational song come through you and let the energy help with the matters of those spirits who are stuck between worlds and help to make justice happen. Even in the darkness of anything, we need the light, and that we together as a village are helping the trees and the rest of the world to come together in a really beautiful, magnificent, and sacred manner. Mataki Yasin. Robin, do you want to add anything to that?
No, I think that's absolutely perfection. And I want to remind people that the next Paranormal Ascension with Marilyn Monroe will be on February 19th. And it will be with Jack Kenna, the producer of those two shows we talked about at the beginning, Paranormal Survivor and Haunted Case Files from the cable network Destination America. So if you want to join Matthew and Jack and possibly me on that day, make sure you mark your calendars.
Great. Thank you, everyone, for listening to us today. I'm going to leave you with this medicine man, Charlie Red Hawk Tom. He sang a song to the ocean, and so this is his song to the ocean. So I hope you stick around and not just hang up the phones, but just really listen to his song and the energy that he brings from his ancestors and the energies of his life force to his song and to the ocean and to all those. So thank you, Robin, for your beautiful light, love and light, and holding space for this to happen, and for Maura and for Mary Monroe and for all the ancestors and all the trees and all the ones that we spoke of today, for that sequoia man, that big old man that fell down.
Beautiful.
Sequoia was sending you energy that your spirit will travel in a good way and leave a good imprint of songs and energies and prayers left behind, that your death will be more of a miracle for everyone else to follow and a path to reach their highest goals and their connections. So we say thank you to all of you today to listening to us babble on around trees or, you know, singing and stuff, having a good time. So thank you so much. I got to head back to Shasta. Thank you, Robin, again. I love you and Bob very much. And I'll talk to you on Tuesday.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye, everybody.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, 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 oh, hey, 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 you, 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 hey,